songs. Now a movie's come out about these dirty cowpokes of Brokeback, where wrestling's the name of their game. But these guys got carried away by that campfire flame. It's just a show about two guys and how they broaden their horizons. Now I'm sitting here with my wife, and it's dawning on me that they're backdoor cowboys, bucking up after hours in a rough Wrangler rodeo. Just a backdoor cowboy, wearing scarves and sweaters and denim over pantyhose. The box office is about to explode. Like a backdoor cowboy, with a 10-gallon hat and a hankering to do-si-do. Sashaying cowboys, getting nasty letters from chap-wearing homophobes. Like a backdoor cowboy.
Five Oscar nominations?
Eight.
Eight?
Wasn't it eight?
Was it eight or five?
Eight.
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 Yeah.
Must be good.
Three of them snuck in when I wasn't looking.
I thought you were sleeping, huh? Yeah,
must
baby.
Must come in the back door.
Boom.
The Wyoming Department of Tourism says that they've never had this much interest in visiting the state of Wyoming since this movie.
There's a whole new breed of tourists coming to Wyoming.
Yeah, the people are flocking.
Is
there.
The scenery that nice in
oh,
the movie?
It's gorgeous.
Is Wyoming a place I would like to visit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think you'd find it astounding.
Jackson Hole. That's where you want to go.
The only issue is every bit of the scenery in this film is in Canada, because that's where it was actually filmed.
They didn't film it in Wyoming?
There's no Wyoming in this movie.
Yeah, we'd like to come to your state and make a gay cowboy movie. Hello? Hello, Wyoming? Wyoming, hello? Call him back, would you? You must have got disconnected.
So let's try Canada.
Yeah, come on, eh? You're bringing those Yankee dollars. Sure, sure.
Incidentally, our Yankee dollar isn't what it was. Yankee dollar's a little limp.
Well, anytime you want to make a movie somewhere, I think you're probably welcomed with open arms.
You would think. Wyoming? Why wouldn't they shoot in Wyoming?
Well, yeah, it's a story about two guys who are both married, beautiful wives, but they like to go to the mountains and kind of wrangle each other. Remember, hello? Hello? Wyoming? Hello?
Yes, Mike.
It's the same reason they shoot movies in Vancouver. It's just cheaper.
Oh, cheaper in Canada.
And yeah. There's nobody with torches.
Well, and they can get that kind of scenery and services nearby. Here, in order to get that kind of scenery, you literally have to be in Wyoming, and they go, where's the nearest 7-Eleven? And they'll say, Utah.
Yeah. We're going to get a biscotti. Italy. Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
I saw those two, by the way, Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger on with Oprah last week. Did you see that?
Yeah, they were so cute.
Yeah, they were cute.
Now, these are the two straight actors who play the gay guys in Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, does it make it more palatable to the general public that they are straight actors and that they, you know, promote themselves that way? I think it does.
I think it'd be harder to suspend disbelief knowing that those
two remember are... Remember when Anne Heche was in the movie as the love interest of, what's his name
Harrison
on that island?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, made it harder to buy then that she had the hots for Harrison Ford. For me.
It did?
Yeah. That was the big complaint from men who saw the movie.
Well, in any event, with Oprah, did Oprah ask them if they felt a tingle?
she didn't go there. She didn't ask them if it made them wonder. But she asked them, how was playing this love scene? Was it different than you prepare for other love scenes? And they're like, well, yeah. You know? He's like, well, you know, I think it was Jake Gyllenhaal was saying, well, you know, when you're doing a love scene with a woman in a movie, I try to be very conscientious of my co-star. Because for the most part, movie sets are all guys. camera crew, gaffers, best boys, whatever they are. They're all guys. And there's this beautiful lead actress, actor here. And so I try to tell her, look, here, I'm gonna put my hand here. I'm going to kiss you here. I'm going to lower you down to the bed. He says, I tell her
don't
what I'm going
to do. Don't give her anything
do.
Unexpected.
Exactly. Yeah. Make her as comfortable as possible.
What is that? It's a sea serpent.
I'm telling this to Heath Ledger. I'm going to touch you here. I'm going to put my arm over there. I'm going to grab you there. And we giggled a lot, but it was pretty cool. They were both.
So they treated each other the same as they would with a male and female co-star.
Exactly.
Did Oprah give it a thumbs up? Did she like the movie?
She said she was going to check the facts before she would endorse it either way.
Yeah.
No, she raved about the movie. She really did. Yeah.
I still
really
can't go see it. The other night, my wife was like, "Well, what haven't we seen?" And I'm like hiding the paper.
Haven't seen Capote. Haven't seen Crash. Haven't seen.
Really,
Make
I
Your
just
Luck.
It's just like egg salad. I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
Yeah,
I am. I was watching Oprah yesterday. I was in the gym working out, and that's when I see Oprah. When someone else, you know, a woman, is on the treadmill next to me and basically beat me to the TV, and Oprah's on.
Yeah.
And that's my excuse.
Yes.
Because
you'll get secondhand Oprah.
I don't want to ruin her. I say, can I put on ESPN, please? You know, there's Super Bowl hype going on, and I'm missing it. That's not doesn't sound like a very good argument. So, mm-mm. Oprah had on, it was the strangest thing. She had on, you saw it?
I saw the previews for it, yeah.
She had on a bank robber from prison. Only the way this bank robber got caught was that one of his sons saw the video surveillance of the bank being robbed and recognized Dad even behind the mask.
Wow.
Moral dilemma. And by the way, it prompted a bunch of discussion from folks in the gym who didn't even know each other, started talking to each other. The son is... Now, I forget why he was looking at surveillance videos.
They showed it on the news.
Ran on the news.
He was on the
news,
and he was looking at it on a web, you know, like one of the little web
news.
Deals.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's the bank robber. The son looks, and he sees, and the guy's got a mask, but he's got facial features that are easily recognizable to a son. All of a sudden, he realizes, it's my father robbing a bank. And it's not just his father. It's his father who taught him the principles of right and wrong. It's his father who taught him honesty and integrity. I tried to imagine what they've had. Because my old man was, I don't know about your old man, but they're pillars integrity, honesty. My dad wouldn't take the mattress tag off that says, do not remove under penalty of law.
When my old man pulled up to a toll booth, a coin-operated toll booth on the highway, and it was out of service, he threw his money in anyway.
Exactly.
You know, your integrity was everything.
So these guys, and how many sons were there? There were three sons.
There were
I
two.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two that turned him in, and a third that wasn't part of it.
That's he didn't want to see the show.
Right.
There were three. One of them was off camera.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the moral dilemma: do we turn in our dad? What they did was, they called the authorities and they turned him in. The authorities came and got him. And now he's in prison.
So was there a reward they were after? Is there some tip hotline?
No.
Were they seeking a reward? They just
This guy was, by all accounts, once they arrested him and looked further, was leading a completely separate life than what they knew.
That'd be tough.
He was also having an affair on their mom, by the way.
So they thought, oh, this is my dad, 9-to-5 guy. He was estranged or anything from him.
And so Oprah, I don't know how Oprah sets these things up, but, you know, Oprah must have people on the inside in prison.
She's got like a big fan club.
She's got people everywhere.
Yeah.
At least at prison, you've got documentation that the story is true. How about that, Oprah? So Oprah has basically set up this, and you cannot turn away. I mean, you cannot look away from this. Oprah has set up these sons to confront their father on live, not live, but on national television, and to ask him why he went against everything he ever preached, robbed banks, and cheated on their mom.
And in turn, he gets to ask them, why the heck did you turn me in?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dad, Oprah pummeled the dad like he'd written a book that wasn't factual.
Turned on him, huh?
Oh, she totally pummeled him.
Oprah
will beat on you. Well, I don't know. I mean, she always resolves it at the end. That's good. Now you've said you're sorry.
Yeah.
The dad was kind of weird. He naturally, of course,
being a bank robber and all.
One of the sons refused to talk to him. Wanted to watch from another room and kept shaking his head. He was on camera in another room.
Mm-hmm.
The dad said, "Well, I wish they'd handled it differently. I wish they had come to me and allowed me the chance to turn myself in. Might have got a shorter sentence."
Now, did the dad, let me guess, I haven't seen this, was he robbing banks for the other woman? Did she have some kind of spending habit or something he was trying to give her money for?
They didn't get into that.
Well, he was robbing banks to supplement his severe drug habit.
Okay.
Yeah, when you lead a double life, you need to
find... The Home Shopping Channel was not mentioned.
It takes a lot of money to lead two lives.
Well, anyway, as I'm watching this, the woman who's on the treadmill been watching Oprah, she steps off and she goes... Would you like me to put on something else for you? And I said, no, leave it on.
I'm good.
I have to see how this, you know, turns out. And she says, well, I could never turn in my dad. Like, she was actually mad at the kids for turning in their dad the bank robber. And at that point, one of the people who works there walked by, and she said, she said, I could turn in my dad, but I could never turn in my mom.
Wow.
And it's funny because I watching the show, I was immediately, I would turn in my dad. But when she said, I could never turn in my mom, I realized that I wouldn't turn in my mom either. I wondered why. What's the difference?
I'd have a hard time probably turning in either.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say it'd be easy. Yeah. Like, hey, 911, hey, is there a reward?
Yeah, this guy on TV might be my dad. Why don't you come arrest him and we'll see. What makes you think it's your father? Well, my dad used to come in and say, put my lunch in a brown paper sack and nobody gets hurt. And the guy in the bank, pretty much the same thing. I think it's my dad.
Sounded just like him.
I mean, for murder or something, no question. I saw he was hurting, but for bank robbery?
Well, bank robbery. No one's, and you know, who's getting hurt in bank robbery, really? The FDIC? I don't know any of those people.
It's a victimless crime for
it's
you.
It's a victimless crime.
Yeah.
So let's find out if there's any difference out there. Could you turn in your dad? Could you turn in your mom?
You know,
is there a difference?
Yeah.
I could not turn in my mom. If my mom were a bank robber. Now, murder, yes, anything. But let's go with bank robbery. My mom was robbing a bank. We'd have a talk. We'd split some money up.
Anybody ever have to turn in a family member? I've read stories where, you know, people are doing things, that, growing things or stealing things.
I believe we've asked this question once before. Had anybody been turned in by a family member or had to? We did ask that question once.
We've had family members that all went to jail together.
But we've never said, were you turned in by a family member?
Did you rat out your own family?
Or did you have to turn in a family member?
Never asked that question?
No. All right.
I don't think we really ever had it come up before.
We had the family that breaks the law together goes to jail together topic, and there were plenty of those.
1-800-252-1025. Anybody ever face or participate in that dilemma?
I'm watching you watch your father, and you are crying tears or welling up because you don't want to see your father in pain.
You know, what I really want, I want him to understand what I did. Almost like I'm still seeking his approval for what I do, like I always did as a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want him to understand.
Understand what you did.
Yeah. It's like...
By turning him in, you mean?
Yeah, right. The reasons I feel like I do.
Okay.
I would love for my dad to be able to tell me from back in the 90s till today.
What happened?
Every secret.
Yeah, every secret.
And that probably will not happen.
These guys turned in their father. One of them, by the way he saw the video, the surveillance video, is he was a police officer. Thank you, Oprah watchers. for that fact-checking on our show done by Oprah Watchers.
Your son's a cop and you're robbing banks?
Uh-huh.
Well, then it's your duty not only as a son and a citizen, but that's your job. I mean, that's
to
your
turn
job
him in.
To catch bad guys.
Yeah, you got no choice at
you
that
can't
point.
Go to your dad and say, hey, Dad, I know about the little bank robbery thing. Eh?
Hey, can we put that on the back burner, you think, Dad? Maybe at least till I retire
well,
or something?
Something for the Widows and Orphans Fund. Yeah. No, you got to turn him in, and you cannot give him a chance to turn himself in. Mike.
Several callers have also asked that it be pointed out, and I really feel this because my girlfriend, I'll remind you, works at a bank. Bank robbery is not a victimless crime by any means. It's terribly traumatic for the people in that industry, and they live with that fear every day. Oh, yeah. If somebody burst
You're
into
laughing?
The
sh-
if somebody burst
I've
into
got
the
a Dixie
show-
cup and a paper bag. Give me all the rolled nickels, and nobody gets looked at.
No, he's right.
People
he's right.
die.
If somebody burst in here with a gun.
It was a joke. The FDIC joke. It
if somebody
was a joke.
Burst in here with a gun, they get the big screen.
I actually think it's traumatic for the people at the FDIC when they have to write a huge check to cover that, too. So, yeah,
that's
I know.
Your tax dollars traumatic. That pays that, by the
Fair
way.
Fair enough. Okay. We have to be PC on every single joke.
Was that the 12th man who called to say that, Mike?
No, we just need better jokes.
Okay.
Oh.
Back to the salt mines. James and Everett. All right, the topic is turning a family member in. These guys turned in their dad. A remark by another person watching this show. I could turn in my dad, but I could never turn in my mom. I felt the same way. I could. My dads are tough. They can dish it out. They ought to be able to take it. Whereas a mom, I cannot picture my mom in Purdy with other. I just could not. No matter how many bank tellers she had traumatized.
Yeah.
James.
Yes.
Go ahead.
My mother committed a crime. I was in my teens. I was almost. I'm not even 18 yet. And I knew that she was stealing from people, and I couldn't turn her in. I knew that she should have gone to jail, but I couldn't do it, so I walked away.
What was the crime?
I chose to either have my mom in prison or just kind of mind over matter. If you don't see it, it doesn't hurt you.
Uh-huh.
So I eventually told the people who robbed her, who robbed them.
Who she robbed, you mean?
Yep, exactly.
You told them?
Yep, I told them. It took me a few months to get the gonads to do it, but sure. I went and did it, told them, but I just walked away from my mom. I'm in my mid-30s now, and I haven't said one word to her since that conversation.
What was
I said,
the...
You either
I'm sorry.
Turn yourself in, or I'm out of here.
What was the crime, if I may ask? You said she stole from people, but how? I mean...
She's credit cards.
Identity
doing
theft.
Credit cards.
Oh.
Things like that, where I knew the people she was stealing it from. She knew it too, but she was a player. She could really, now that I'm in my, I have a child that's in almost 4 years old, he'll never meet her. She's not the kind of person I want him to ever meet.
This is
but
just
I
like
throw her in prison.
This is just like the Oprah show yesterday. This exact same. Tortured, different thing to deal with, but with a mom. Is she out of state? Is she somewhere else?
To be honest with you, I do not know. The last word I ever said to her was probably about 11 years ago over the phone, and I didn't even know it was her. Where I said, hi, hello, and she asked to speak to my brother, and I didn't even realize it was her. Until after he had hung up the phone and said, well, that was your mom. Hmm.
What does she look like? Because I'm looking through some of these tattoo entries in the 12th man contest.
You're looking for that reward? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's her.
Didn't you ever want to tell her to stop or to turn herself in? Or?
I did. I went to her and said, hey, you either stop, turn yourself in, or I'm out of here.
I'll
never speak to you again.
When she knew that you had her made... This is your mom. When she knew that you knew she had committed these crimes, what was her response to you?
First of all, she wanted to know how I figured it out.
How the heck did you figure that out?
How did you find me?
Exactly. I mean, it was like, hey, well, what, are you snooping through my stuff? Well, no, yeah. But I get bills in the mail, too, and I know that these aren't your names, so what's going on here? Well, because I would, every once in a while, we get stuff in the mail, and then I just put return to sender.
Ah, Thank you, James. Anybody else out there had to turn in a family member or couldn't turn in a family member? Or perhaps you were turned in. You're out now. Good behavior.
Changed person.
Great lawyer. 1-800-252-1025. 1-800-252-1025. Eric.
Yes.
You're there.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, Eric.
I was turned in by my mom, actually. Or, me and my buddy were driving. I didn't have insurance on my car, and I took a corner a little kind of too fast, and we crashed in this lady's front yard into a tree, and I couldn't get the car. I was totaled. So we grabbed everything and, you know, busted out the ignition and took out the stereo, so it looked like it got stolen, and ran a couple miles back home. And then the cops showed up and said, well, we found your car, and we think, are you okay? Did you get in an accident and all this stuff? And I was like, no, my car was parked and it got stolen. And so after, yeah, and then after the cops left, my mom asked, is that true? And I told her the truth. You know, I can't lie to my mom.
All right. Good for you.
You lie to the cop.
Well, we like all got that skill.
I can lie to the authorities who have the right to lock me up.
Yeah, I was going 54 mile an hour, officer.
But my mom, she might put a bad star on the refrigerator.
And so your mom called the cops?
Yeah, she called them back up, and this happened on Friday. And Saturday, I came home from work, and the police were there. And they said, well, your mom told us everything, and they put your hands behind your back. It was embarrassing.
Yeah,
she told me, hey, if you do the crime, you got to do the time. I learned a big lesson. I didn't hold it against her because, you know, it was my fault.
How old were you then?
This was last year.
Just last year.
How old were you?
So I'm 22. I'm 22 years old.
22 now. You know what? I think your parents did your mom. Was your dad involved?
No, my dad didn't want to get out of bed. He said, he kind of stayed out of it.
I think your mom is the one with the you-know-whats in the family. And I think
she wears the pants.
She did the right thing.
Yeah.
Nice job. And you respect that now.
Well, I wasn't mad at her at all. I mean, I wasn't like, it wasn't like cops. I wasn't swearing at her and kicking the door or nothing.
You've seen those TV shows. You should see that Fox camera and the big van pull up. You got to behave.
We win some money? Uh-oh.
I just, you know, I gave her the puppy dog eyes, but I knew that wasn't going to work. And then I had a lot of time to think about it in jail. And I was like, you know, that was a good move on her part.
They put you in jail?
Yeah.
For how long?
I was in there for a whole day, and
a
then
whole
my
day.
Dad bailed me out.
Dad bailed you out.
24 hours.
Well, they probably got you not only for wrecking, not having insurance, but for lying. I mean, you
playing
lied to the police.
Yeah.
I love it when you said a whole day.
Whole
not
day.
Like a part of a day.
Yeah, enough time to shave your head, get a mayhem tattoo across your stomach, you know, fully get indoctrinated
into the
jail culture.
The longest 24 hours of my life, I can tell you that.
I'll bet it was. Great story.
It's cold in there.
Thank you, Eric. Oh. Gloria is in... Oh, now let me go to Marnie first, because Marnie's been waiting the longest. Marnie is in Seattle. Marnie, hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Yes, I had to turn in my brother for stealing my boyfriend's motorcycle after we had paid him to store it at his property.
And you paid... Was there a misunderstanding, or was he, no, I'm keeping it. I've decided I'd like to steal it from you.
Well, what happened was I didn't know that he was into meth really bad, and selling it, rather. And so he sold the motorcycle to someone in order to be able to pay off
Understood.
A drug debt.
Say no more. As soon as you said meth, I'm all right there with you.
Yep, yep.
It isn't a motorcycle to him. It's a few bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. When you turned him in, Was it difficult for you, or was this like, that's it, I've had enough, I'm going to turn him in?
It was extremely difficult. It was more or less like a tough love. He's considerably younger than I, and called me mom before he called my mom. And so it was very hard because it was more of a maternal relationship than a sibling relationship.
Big older sister. Did he end up getting clean and respecting you for it?
He ended up getting clean because of going to prison for a totally different, for drugs. And so that cleaned him out. And then, but when I had confronted him prior to that, he had denied it and totally disowned me. So it was difficult for me on two different emotional levels.
Well, meth heads aren't in the habit of, you know, you're right.
No, you got me.
You got me.
I was going to tell you I lost all the teeth because of Cocoa Puffs, but nope, it's the meth.
Did you have to turn in a family member? Willow in Seattle.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Joe. Casey.
Hi.
Hi. So my dad, this happened on Christmas about 5 years ago, and my dad is a felon from testifying for some stuff that was going on. On Christmas night, he was kind of running around missing, and he came over to my sister's house and was talking to my brothers-in-law. And as he drove away, he said to them, "Oh, by the way, you should know that I'm armed." And so they came back in the house, and my sisters called a family meeting. Myself, my three sisters, and my brother were all there. And being a felon, having a firearm is a jailable, you know, offense. And so we all had to sit around the table after dinner.
He's a convicted felon, but he's out.
Right. So he never did do any jail time. The charge that he's a felon for, my parents were involved in a drug growing operation that ended up in my brother being killed by somebody else.
Nasty.
So when that happened, he fully testified, you know.
He fell on it. Okay.
Completely open. And
so he's not supposed to have a gun.
Right.
He's got one. And then you have to decide whether to turn him in.
Right. And the biggest risk with him having a gun is probably to himself. I think that it's something that you have no idea what you'll do in that situation until you're in it. And it also depends a lot on where you're at morally in your life at that time.
Right. If you're also a felon, the chances are you'll just team up.
Look the other way.
Yeah. And there was three of us who were adamantly like, this is the right thing to do. This is what we have to do. And one of my sisters and one...
The one who cheats at poker.
Like, no way. How can you do that? But they are also, you know, they're still living kind of an edgy life. And the rest of us have all cleaned up. So
they came. Did they just pull him over? Did you have to be there and watch?
They came to the house and took the statement. And, you know, the cops luckily were really friendly about it. We told them, you know, that we were really hesitant to even call, that we didn't think that he would do anything, but the state that he was in and things like that. And they looked for him. He ended up going back home. They found him back home like 5 hours later, and they didn't do anything. I don't know really how it ended up, but he didn't have to go to jail, and luckily.
But this was on Christmas night as he was leaving?
On Christmas night,
so
yeah.
Christmas as he drove out of sight. Merry Christmas.
As he drove out of sight, he said, "Remember, I'm armed.
Remember, I'm armed. Wish you all a good night." Yeah.
Ouch. In the end, the question I'm always asking everybody is, did turning them in help them somehow?
I don't know if that helped him or hurt him, because nothing really came of it. He's got post-traumatic stress disorder from the situation that he was in, that he testified against, and you know, ultimately he's a little bit better now, but I don't know how much of a difference that made. But our main goal was to kind of protect him from himself.
Thank you, Willow. James is in Anacortes. James, you're the last caller. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Oh, my story?
That would be it.
Okay. Well, back in the 70s, I had a bunch of marijuana. A friend had given me to help some friends pay off their state taxes, and my sister found out and turned me in.
How much is a bunch before we continue?
How much is a bunch? I had about 4 pounds.
Okay, because I have a bunch of bananas. There's 4 bananas.
Okay, yeah, no, I was selling lids. Back in those days, it was 3-finger lids for $10 a lid. So
I have a lid here. It keeps my coffee hot for an extra 10 minutes.
Right.
How big are your fingers? Are you a pretty big guy?
I'm not a little guy, but my 3-finger lids were pretty decent. Okay. You know?
How many years ago again was this?
This was 1970.
We're okay. Fine.
Go ahead.
1970. So my sister called me at work one day and said, "You better get home. The police are waiting to talk to you." And I was reluctant to go home, but I did. They arrested me. I spent 5 days in jail. I finally got out, and I went to court for it, and I did beat it eventually. But, you know, my sister, I was pissed off about it at first, but then I look back now today, you know, and I was totally out of control. And she's just trying to help me out. She wanted something better for me. She also tried to turn me into the Army. She tried to get me enlisted in the Army back then also.
The moral of the story is? What's the moral of the story, James?
The moral of the story is I shouldn't be doing that stuff.
Thanks, James.
Good. It's not. Don't let your sister, your nosy big mouth sister, know when you got 4 pounds of pot.
Okay.
I did a moral at my house.
Last week's Palestinian parliamentary elections got the attention of the world when the Islamic militant group Hamas won the majority of seats and took power for the first time. We wanted to find out more about Hamas from an expert, and Deborah Garner certainly qualifies. She is a political science professor at the University of Kansas who specializes in Palestinian Arab politics. She also recently spent 3 weeks visiting the West Bank. Professor Deborah Garner, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show.
Hi, it's nice to be with you.
All right, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Much of the United States expressed a form of shock at Hamas actually winning the election. In fact, I don't think our polls had that happen. Was it a surprise to you?
Frankly, it was a surprise to me, and it was a surprise to virtually everyone I know, including Hamas itself. The public opinion polls that had been done before the election, as well as the exit polls that occurred the day of the election, all suggested that the race was going to be a whole lot closer than it turned out to be.
Now, are there any chance of some hanging Chad issue or something like that?
No, not at all. In fact, you would expect that to occur if the power, if the party that was currently in control won. But for Hamas to win, no.
Okay. Now, at first, we were all a bit shocked, and I thought it was interesting that President Bush made a speech. A very carefully, it seemed, worded speech that spoke to the value of democracy and the fact that they'd made a choice. He didn't say how horrible this choice seemed to him. He just said, it's great that democracy gives people a chance to speak. What do you suppose he was really thinking?
Well, we've gotten some insights into that by comments from Condoleezza Rice and others, and even Bush himself. The United States has a problem because in both Iraq and the Palestinian territories, the election didn't turn out the way the United States wanted. And yet, if you're going to support democracy, you have to be willing to accept the outcome, whatever it is. What we've seen, though, is that the United States has now said they would refuse to deal with any government, Palestinian government, that was headed by Hamas. So they've been pretty clear that they want nothing to do with this government, which I think is a mistake on the part of the U.S.
Well, I also heard that we have some $250 million in aid money that was scheduled to go to the Palestinians, and that that's going to be withheld unless they renounce the idea of the destruction of Israel and terrorism and things like that, of that nature. Is there any chance of that happening, and will we actually withhold the money? And then the question is there a potential there to actually have some influence over Hamas, which we've never had in the past?
I don't think that we're going to have a lot of influence, that the U.S. is going to have a lot of influence over Hamas, no. In terms of whether we'll withhold the money, I think we probably will, at least in the short run. And with respect to whether Hamas will change its basic charter, that I could imagine happening, not in a necessarily in a grand official way, but in a more pragmatic way. After all, Hamas has been running several municipalities, and they've been doing so in a very pragmatic fashion. And if one looks... Go ahead.
Spike thinks you're in the bathtub.
You are, aren't you? You are. I know you are.
You think I'm in the bathtub?
I just heard water splash.
She's in a tiled room.
Yeah, okay. Don't get me wrong, because right now I think you're both smart and hot.
At any rate, Hamas has been ruling several of the municipalities in the West Bank and in Gaza, and have been doing so in a very pragmatic fashion. You know, what they are best at and why many people voted for them is that they are good at dealing with social service issues. They're good at dealing with health, education, clean government, And these are the things which many Palestinians were concerned about, and many of them, the Palestinians, wanted to vote against Fatah precisely because they saw Fatah as being corrupt and Hamas as being clean.
This is what I had read also, is that under Arafat and such, the social services and roads and things that were promised were never done, and everything was, they were considered, basically they were voting out a dishonest government and electing Hamas, even though they've got this terrorism thing going. That isn't why they elected them. They didn't elect them to blow up more people. They elected them because they actually figured the roads might get fixed. True.
I think that's accurate. Now, it is true that in the early years, Fatah did do a fair amount of social service activity, but then a lot of that was destroyed when Israel reinvaded parts of the West Bank in 2002, and a lot of that was then not repaired. But I think you're absolutely on target in saying that a lot of people voted for Hamas for reasons other than their ideology.
Well, maybe I'm just a wishful thinker, Professor Gerner, but I guess part of me hopes that now that they're in power, now that they actually have to, you know, make dog licenses, fix roads, build schools, buy books and stuff, that they might realize they need money to do that, and that blowing up people isn't going to get them more money. Any chance of that?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd also think we've got to keep in mind something else, which is that we've, in the United States, kind of categorized Fatah equals good guys, equals no violence. Hamas equals bad guys and violence. In fact, both of them had both a political dimension and a violent dimension. Fatah itself had a wing, a militant wing, that engaged in suicide bombings and other kinds of violence. So it's not as though we're talking about one group that was, you know, totally nonviolent in its relations with Israel and another group that engaged in massive terrorism. The other two things I would point out very quickly. One is that Hamas and Fatah came together and agreed to halt any suicide bombings. They did that in February of 2005. And since then, all the suicide bombings have been done by Islamic Jihad, a much smaller group which was not part of the election. And then the other point I would make is that it's not as though Israel is a totally neutral party here. Israel also engages in violence against Palestinians, and while, in my view, every civilian death is horrific, the number of Palestinian civilians who've been killed by Israel is far, far greater than the number of Israeli civilians who've been killed by Palestinians, whether Hamas or Fatah-related.
So, Professor, it sounds like it's bad for us primarily because we've branded Hamas as bad and makes us look bad. It's bad for us because if Hamas starts to do a decent job, we won't get any credit for it. But it remains to be seen what Hamas will actually do.
I think that's exactly right. I wouldn't say I'm terrifically optimistic, but I'm hopeful that Hamas will now take on the challenge that it didn't really want to have. Hamas, I have to tell you, from being over there, Hamas neither expected this outcome nor did it want it. What Hamas wanted was to be a player. It wanted to be involved in the government, but it wanted to have control over the things that it's best at.
So Hamas was shooting for, like, Ross Perot status, and all of a sudden they found themselves in power.
Exactly. They wanted to deal with the social services side of things and leave dealing with the Israelis to Fatah. Then they didn't have to confront the possible contradiction between what they've historically said vis-a-vis Israel. And now they're stuck. They've got to deal with Israel.
And you mentioned branding. I read three different stories, and one will say the political party Hamas, one will say the Islamic militant group Hamas, one will say the terrorist organization Hamas. Which one of those would you say is closest to accurate, or is there a little of all three in there?
I would tend to use the first, and the reason is that I think it's important to brand by, I think you focus on actions that groups take rather than defining an entire group as terrorist. Any group can take an action that is a terrorist action, and I would say that the assassinations that Israel has engaged in, where they've assassinated political leaders, those are acts of terror. Similarly, when somebody goes and blows up a busload of innocent civilians, that's an act of terror. But I focus on the actions rather than labeling an entire group as a terrorist group.
Professor Deborah Gerner, Professor, you recently spent 3 weeks visiting the West Bank. What kind of hotels do they have there? Is it a place we could go for a family vacation, or is it still a little risky?
I'm not sure you'd want to go for a family vacation, but not because it's not safe, but because it's so difficult right now to move. The restrictions on movement of Palestinians, but also of tourists, that are imposed by the Israeli government are quite great.
Right.
But I have always felt very comfortable there, and I still did.
Right.
The hotels are very nice. I was in Bethlehem for a conference on nonviolence, and the thing that was most sad was the way in which this major Christian city has been totally decimated by being surrounded by the wall that Israel has put up. So most of the shops are closed. But I would go, and I would take children there. Yeah, I would go.
All right. And you know, if you want to get pictures of you in this amazing place, the holy place, if that's your leaning, then you would say it's reasonably safe. The water is okay. The hotels are okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most people, the water is safe. Most people drink bottled water just out of habit.
Here, too.
But there are lots of very, very nice hotels. It's a lovely part of the world, actually.
But maybe, like, don't sew an American flag on your backpack or anything.
No. Like, I would say three-quarters of the world, I wouldn't do that. But when people ask where I'm from and I say the United States, the answer is always, Ahlan wa sahlan, you are most welcome.
Nice.
But your president, not so much.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Not so much your president.
Yeah.
You okay.
That's right. There's that distinction made between the governmental policies and you as an individual. But as an individual, you're welcome.
Professor Deborah Gerner in Lawrence, Kansas. Professor, University of Kansas, on the Palestinian election and what it means to the world. Professor, we really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Most of us believe she was indeed in the bathtub. Eric has, have you forensically analyzed the audio?
It seems pretty damning to me. Do you want to hear it?
I don't think it sounds damning. I think it sounds liberating.
Yeah, I've got this interview, but it's time for my bath.
Right.
Do the interview in the bathtub. All right, let's hear it.
And with respect to whether Hamas will change its basic charter, that I could imagine happening. Not in a...
That is so bathwater.
You know what? That's a very smart woman. Here's a lady who's about to go on. She's a PhD. She's a teacher. Not a media spokesperson. She probably gets a little nervous before she's got to go on a radio interview in a city, you know, people she doesn't know. So to combat her jittery nerves, she fills up a little lavender bath salts, lights a few candles, hops in the tub, puts herself at ease, does the interview.
I think you're overthinking it. I think she's just
efficient. No, Joe, she had a sponge, a loofah, a nice big loofah.
Oh, no. I don't
rubbing
doubt
the back
that.
Of her knees. I
know
bubbly
she
bubblies.
In the tub. I think she's just a multitasker. I mean, she can. That's that type of person. She can take a bath, do an interview. She's probably writing some kind of doctorate, too.
Get some
time.
Grant money.
Mike Jones.
I just hope she didn't get cold, because we pushed her interview back like 5 minutes, and she's probably timing it perfectly, and then
for the
5 minutes
to
later,
be
it's like...
Just the right temperature.
Yeah.
All right, do we all agree she was in the bath?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I could have been... She could have been Palmolive. She could have been washing dishes. Let's listen one more time.
No.
Is that the only time the water...
With respect to whether Hamas will change its basic charter, that I could imagine happening. Not in a...
In the tub, dude.
She was gesturing a little too hard and made waves.
Plus, just the echoiness. There's no doubt that's a bathroom phone call. You can tell a bathroom phone call.
All right, let's see what happens when we say to her, we think you're in the bathtub. Check for her reaction.
Necessarily in a grand official way, but in a more pragmatic way. After all, Hamas has been running several municipalities, and they've been doing so in a very pragmatic fashion. And if one looks... Go ahead.
Spike thinks you're in the bathtub.
You are, aren't you? You are. I know you are.
I think I'm in the bathtub.
I just heard water splash.
She's in a tiled room.
Yeah, okay. And don't get me wrong, because right now I think you're both smart and hot.
Okay. She laughed, and she never denied it.
No denial.
That's nice. That's just one of the best interviews of the year.
That just made your boy's morning, didn't it?
Sure did.
Hey, you know, I'm sure.
I'm hot for teacher. He's in the bath.
I'm sure she's, you know, in a swimsuit in the bath.
I'm sure.
I wasn't thinking of her that way. I just think that's kind of cool. She's on time for the interview?
Yeah.
She's on time for her bath.
Who takes
Does
baths
that mean
anymore?
She's affiliated with the bath party in any way?
No.
No.
<Uh-oh.
That's> terrible.
Right, you are, sir.